Welcome to Go Home Heat, a wrestling podcast. We are going to discuss Impact. Did you?
Yes, you know a little bit
about New Japan too today.
I watched the main event. I didn't have time to watch anything else.
That's all we need to talk about.
I mean, maybe the other. I mean, the rest of the card looked great.
Right. I saw a couple of. I haven't got to watch it, but I've seen some stuff. So we'll talk. We'll mow through that a little bit, and we'll go through AEW as well. Let's get right into it. Impact Emergence Night 2, Eddie Edwards versus Rob Van Dam, featuring Katie Forbes. Eddie Edwards wins in a good little match set up, which was basically a setup for Eric Young to attack. He said next week it's his time.
He gets to set the time.
And that's next week, I assume.
Yes.
And Wrestle House is next.
Love Wrestle House.
Taya is throwing a toga party. Cousin Jake and Cody have togas. Johnny Swinger has a Jaguar print toga, which is nice.
Dude, let me give another special shout out to Johnny Swinger just for being every single thing he said was great. He said something like, if I had that attitude, Baba-san would have slapped me back to the States. Talking about Giant Baba, and I'm like, what year are you over there?
Right. He's so good, and he's disappointed because Crazy Steve is not dressing like he should for this.
No, he's not like... He's doing just the bare minimum.
Yes.
Not like Johnny, who has the cheetah print.
Going all out. Taya winds up being very drunk and throwing up during said party. Swinger is going to work out a spot. He's going to play a prank on someone where he throws powder in someone's eyes.
And yell Fuji.
But he winds up putting it in Crazy Steve's eyes, who screams he is blind, which he was already blind going in.
And... just a great little segment.
Right, and then he winds up wrestling Swinger in a match. Swinger's at a huge disadvantage wrestling a blind person.
I'm sure it's not the first blindfold match Johnny Swinger's been a part of.
Right. But
he was
wrestling a blind man in a blindfold match when that guy's used to wrestling blind anyway is a huge disadvantage. And, of course, Crazy Steve winds up going over. And there are different Marco Polo style spots in the match, which are great.
Yeah, he was asking.
He uses the little horn.
Yeah.
The bicycle horn to be Marco Polo. And then Johnny would turn. It was so well done.
And then Johnny was trying to get the crowd to like point him in the right direction. Of course, they point him in the opposite direction.
Yes.
And then he gets rolled up. It was a good little segment.
Great. Eddie Edwards stalking the hallways. Then we get a jail promo, multiple personality disorder promo from
EY,
which I thought was interesting and pretty good, but it also kind of made me think of Mox because he broke out of jail and all that.
I think it's different enough.
It is different
enough. But it is a little evocative of that.
Right.
Lots of people copying Mox this week from what I hear.
As well they should. Right. Mox has been killing it. EY points out that what happened to Rich Swann was an orchestrated plan by a world-class maniac. He also stands by a thing that lets you think he's 6'1", which I'm doubting very seriously. But whatever.
In the same way that Adam Cole is 6'1".
Exactly. We fight next week on my time. Again, we point that out. Scott gets pushed down. Scott Gamore gets pushed down as these two get into it backstage. And I thought for sure that was going to turn into some kind of stip or something, but I don't think it did wind up going anywhere, right?
Okay. No.
Rohit Raju has been plotting, scheming.
Manipulating.
Right. He out-finessed the finesser. I love Rohit Raju being the guy here.
Yeah, no, it feels good after he was, the last choice, the bottom man, low man on the totem pole.
And he will give opportunity for all because he didn't get the opportunities. We're into
maybe not fair opportunities.
A locker room talk episode.
Yes, with
Madison Rayne.
Yes.
And the Treehouse guys. And they seem to want to smoke weed.
Yes.
Without saying it. Madison Rayne is not down with that.
No.
But they do like her couches.
Madman Fulton and Ace Austin
show up. Yes. And it breaks down pretty quickly. I thought this was a good little segment. It was fine. We're going to wind up with Ace and the Treehouse Fellows in more matches, which is fine. And Sammy is big time mad.
Big mad, yeah.
And he challenges RVD next week. Which, again, I'm all for that. That's fine. I do... it's not that Katie Forbes offends me, but I don't really dig her at all.
No, she doesn't do anything for me.
No.
Just as... I just see her, and I'm like, well, if my mom walks in, this is going to be weird.
Right.
That's, like, literally a couple weeks ago, I had it up on the screen in the living room.
Uh-huh.
And my mom walked in, and it was, like, right after a women's match, and she was like, oh, you know, it used to be all like this. I'm like, no, dude, it's way different now. Women are, like, appreciated for their in-ring talent, and then Katie Forbes comes out, and I had to, like, literally, like, turn it off so I could continue my argument.
Dude, my wife...
No, okay, not that...
My wife
again, not
did
that
the
that
same
validates
thing.
It, but...
Right.
Because women can do whatever they want with their bodies.
Right.
There's
absolutely.
There's a spot for stuff like that, but, like, when I'm trying to make that argument, it doesn't help that if you turn around, you see a woman...
Twerking at all costs.
Yes.
Right? And making out with Rob Van Dam.
Yes.
I really don't mind the makeout stuff.
No.
At all. No. I don't mind that at all because.
I mean, it's not that I hate it. It's just it doesn't do a whole lot for me.
Right. Correct. It's whatever. Right.
It's whatever.
EC3 is now approaching. July 1st, 2015 was the greatest day of his life. He beat Angle for the title. All I had wanted was the respect, the pride, and the love that this title would give me. All of that is manifested in this title. And now I must destroy this title in order to free myself from the desire to be from the desire of wanting other people to accept me. Moose, you have all the potential in the world. You're the most destructive force in the company, but this title holds the same things for you, Moose. Therefore, I must destroy you as well. Destroying nostalgia will free me. I thought this was all done really well. He's killed these backstage segments.
I like the vibe of it. You know, yeah. I like the kind of what his goal is.
Also,
there.
Somehow he went from career pretty boy to not a pretty boy quickly.
It's the evil mustache and goatee.
Right, but even his nose looks a little different, like squished down more. I don't get it, but it is. I met this guy.
Yeah.
He came into work one time. I work at a sports bar. He had had a surgery on his bicep. I think he had pulled it off the bone, maybe something like that.
Rough.
But it was funny because
how did they fix that? Glue it back on?
Yeah, just super glue. It's really good.
Yeah, Gorilla Glue, actually.
They attach, yeah. I believe is what they call that. But yeah, and he came in and he wanted to watch the Browns play. And somebody said, hey, this guy wants to watch the Browns play. Can you figure out where to put it on? I walked up to where he was at and I recognized him and I said something like, just don't cut a promo on me. And then he knew I knew who he was.
Yeah.
It's funny because a guy at the bar chanted, you can't wrestle at him, because that's what the fans would chant at him. And he turned and he goes, I beg to differ, and raised his eyebrow. And then nothing else. You know, he was cool about it. You know what I mean? He was just nice guy, real nice guy. Oh, but anyway.
I think it's the lighting in a lot of ways too. The fact that he's like always like lit from like below.
Right. To keep
it looks, like angled lighting makes your face look way harsher.
Right, correct. And he's not as tan as he always is, which again, that goes against the norm of the pro wrestler is you go in there lathered up and tan.
Yes.
Right?
Orange.
Yes. As close to orange as you can be.
Yes, the way the Young Bucks do it.
Yeah, it's so crazy. Or Orton.
Orton is also good.
Orton,
yeah.
You know, he's got all his tattoos. Why does he have to go out there at whatever shade that is? It's crazy. I remember one time, too, funny, Roddy Piper's giving a promo, and he's waving his hand around, and you can see on his fingers, on the inside of his palms, where he's been rubbing this orange tanning stuff on himself. It's like, dude, none of y'all bothered to tell Roddy to grab the mic with both hands and not do that. So he looks, because it's so not his character to be rubbing self-tanner on himself, right? Okay, I'm sorry. I go somewhere else. Brian Myers versus Willie Mack is next. Everybody thinks Willie Mack's going to win, but Myers winds up stealing the match. I thought that was good.
Two fistfuls of tights.
And I thought that was good.
Yeah.
Give him some kind of something, right? But you don't want to go over clean, so cheating a little bit works.
Hey, yeah, it makes the character
more Willie kind of got distracted, sometimes thinking it was going to be easy. Worked out good. Okay. Then we wind up with back to the Wrestle House. Bravo. So then we wind up back at Wrestle House, and Bravo gets into it and kind of slaps Lawrence, which breaks the spell and causes Lawrence to challenge Johnny Bravo. We get a match time segment in which Bravo gets whooped, after which he professes his love for the demon Rosemary. Taya is furious because they're still all jealous of her.
Still pretty drunk.
Yes.
Not worn off.
Not worn off at all. And we wind up with a match between the demon Rosemary and Taya Valkyrie, which will be for everything, including Bravo. And I'm assuming if everything may mean that they all get to leave the Wrestle House.
Yes.
If Rosemary were to win.
Well, either way, really. You know what I mean? Because if Rosemary gets what she wants, then they can leave Wrestle House. And if Taya gets what Rosemary wants, while Rosemary can't have it, probably still get to leave Wrestle House. Maybe.
No.
No, you think if Rosemary loses, they're just
because
trapped?
Didn't the Kylie Rae? Didn't Kylie Rae say that Bravo had to be with Rosemary for them to get to leave?
Yes, but if, I mean, obviously stipulations from wrestling matches are ironclad, and you can never, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, that we call him Dominic Mysterio, not Dominic Guerrero for a reason.
Right.
That's why we call him that. Right. So, like, if she can't have Johnny Bravo, she can never have Johnny Bravo, you know what I mean?
So they stay there for infinity.
Or they leave. I think I know about how this match is going to go, but yeah.
Okay. All right, now we get a 30-minute Iron Man match between Deonna Purrazzo and Jordani Grace, and I think this was fantastic, and I think you should talk about it, because I think you're fired up about it. Go.
Oh, man. So this match didn't have a whole lot of high spots. There was like one, I think, suplex from the top rope, but the rest of it was mostly just smart, narrative-based wrestling. I mean, the whole story was that Deonna was trying to work the arms of Jordan, so, because that's where Jordan's power comes from. She always does, you know, moves that lift, moves that throw, stuff like that. So she was just trying her damnedest to just remove that as a possibility and get her in the, quote, Venus de Milo,
mm-hmm.
which is the double Fujiwara armbar. That's such a dope name.
Right, right.
Because it's based off the statue that does not have arms anymore. I think right. at some point it had arms, but it
right.
does not have arms anymore.
Right.
It's just cool as hell. It fits her character so well.
Right.
It's awesome.
The virtuoso.
The virtuosa. Yes.
Right.
But yeah, this match was just smart. It was smart and it was good. And at the end, they ended up getting three quick... because it was an Iron Woman, I guess. Iron Man. Whatever. You know what it is. 30 minutes. Most pinfalls, whoever wins. Has the most wins, yes.
And Jordani's up 2-0 for a little bit.
No, she never gets more than one.
Oh?
Because she does get a pinfall off a sleeper hold. This all happens in like the last 5 minutes.
She was going to be up 2-0, but she hit the ref. She had her pin to be up 2-0. The ref couldn't do it because he got hit because refs are like porcelain.
Yes, jeez. They really need to hire some...
And that winds up turning into 1-1 soon thereafter, and then you get the quick.
Oh man, finish. Like with like 2 seconds left, tapping out.
Tapping out with 2 seconds left.
That was tragic, dude. You know, I wanted to see
extra innings.
Yes,
something.
Yes. I wanted to see Jordan win the title back.
Right.
I wanted to see that, but it was frustrating in a way that was good. You know,
and
what
it
I mean?
Also solidified Purrazzo as probably the right champion. Which going into this match, I didn't think she was. She'd had some good matches post. She had a great match with Jordani at the pay-per-view to win the thing to begin with.
Yes.
This, to me, screamed, I'm a main eventer.
Yes, yes. So when she fights Kylie Rae at some point, it's going to be a banger. But yeah, this match was awesome.
Also, go ahead.
The only complaint I had was that like commercials were weird during it.
Right.
So it ended up being like instead of a 30-minute match, it was like 24 maybe.
Right. Also, I think that in an age where we are supposed to, like you said earlier, you tell people wrestling's not bra and panties anymore. wrestling isn't.
Oh, yeah, this was a great, yeah, fantastic example.
Her being a champion that isn't even high spot related. You know what I mean? We're not even doing, we're grappling. I'm able to do these things that make me formidable without, and I can tell stories in the ring, which is the direction we hope women's wrestling is going.
Yes.
So
yes.
She is a good champion to take this into the future.
Absolutely. And again, like, we're getting more styles in addition to.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's great. It's so good.
Absolutely. Now, the main event of the wrestling week is All Elite Wrestling. Thursday this week, JR, Tony Schiavone, and Jericho are on commentary. We start out with a gauntlet match between the Young Bucks, the Nightmare Brothers, or collective or family, whatever they're calling them today.
Oh, man. Natural Nightmares.
And Young Bucks. Let's see. We also have, who else is in this thing?
Best Friends.
The Best Friends and FTR. And I thought the first little matchup was pretty good. A sweet shin music, which you don't see much, was and then the double knee triggers to put away.
Oh, what do they call it? The BTE trigger.
Right, right. And they get the win there, and then we get another matchup as the Best Friends come down, and Hangman sheepishly grabs Nick's leg. So no Meltzer driver.
No Meltzer driver. Matt gets rolled up. Young Bucks are out.
And he walks away, and it was strange the way Hangman was behaving.
Yeah. It was strange. It looked like he had been crying.
Right. It was strange.
And I'll talk about this in a little bit.
Of course, because there's more segments about it. Right.
Oh, man. I love this.
Yeah. Then FTR comes out with Tully, and they go over.
Best Friends targeting Chuck's leg.
Manhandle him. Look for the figure four leg lock variant. Good. You like the little gauntlet match?
Gauntlet match was good.
Excellent. Excellent. Lance Archer comes out next with Jake the Snake and Sean Maluta, Alpha's nephew. Alpha and Sika. Famous. That's what they said during the match. That he was the nephew of Alpha.
Famous.
Alpha and Sika are famous. They're in the WWE Hall of Fame.
Were they part of it? Were they a tag team?
The Wild Samoans.
Oh, okay.
One of them's Roman's dad.
Oh, okay.
Another one's, and the Usos are all in there. Yeah. All those guys.
I didn't know their like names, but I have heard of the Wild Samoans for sure.
Right, right. Squash match. We get Jake talking a bit after the squash match about what they're looking forward to at All In and how their 21 enter the casino battle royal. Taz is here and Ricky Starks and Cage. And Taz talks, and then Darby shows up, skateboards down the runway, attacks Ricky. Taz
kicks him out of his shoes, dog. Do you see that?
Yes.
Ricky goes flying out of them loafers.
Absolutely. Taz, for whatever reason, holds Cage back, which I still don't get why he didn't let Cage beat up Darby here while he's engaged with somebody else. And then Jake and they're holding. I get keeping Archer and Cage away from each other because that's going to be a moment in the Battle Royal where they're staring at each other. Why you didn't let him go over there and handle Darby when Darby's already engaged with his buddy? I don't get that at all, but whatever, it's wrestling. And then Sheeta versus Thunder Rosa. They have a little clip here where we get Billy Corgan of AEW ownership fame.
NWA ownership fame.
Correct. I apologize. Also Smashing Pumpkins frontman.
Yes. Lesser known as the Smashing Pumpkins frontman.
Right. And he talks about, he utilizes his vocal stylings to discuss crossover in that champions should have to defend their belts across all companies. Which was an interesting take on it, and I appreciate it because I want this match.
Yes, you do. I'll accept any amount of circumstances that get me to this match.
Right. Thunder Rosa. I'll accept anything that gets Thunder Rosa in the ring, period.
Yes.
I don't even need Cheetah. And Cheetah's cool. She's good.
Yeah. I honestly hope they do work with NWA, especially with NWA not really running shows and all that. If they brought in a couple guys, shoot.
If Nick Aldis walks out for the 21 Man Royal. That would be interesting, right?
That would be interesting. I mean,
if you have Nick Aldis, Cage, and Archer standing there in the ring together at some point. That's a lot of beef. That's a lot of big, strong, talented wrestlers. And Nick Aldis. Okay.
Damn. All right.
The National Treasure, Nick Aldis.
The National Treasure. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Contract signing. Mox and MJF. Mox bloviates a lot here. They let you... Not Mox. I'm sorry. MJF bloviates a lot here. To me, that didn't really... I didn't hate it. I just was like... He's talking like he's Bret Hart. Kind of. And he's just not Bret Hart right now. But he did eventually get around to the point of, you should be able to beat me without your finisher, which I thought was a great place to start for the Mox thing. And Mox kills it.
Mox was great in this segment. Where the way he talks about MJF, and he's just like, instead of doing my finisher, I'm thinking of all the different ways to hurt you, to stretch you, to pull your arms. And
squeezing the life out of your body.
Yes. Oh, my God. It was intimidating. It was very intimidating. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
That's what I want. I want to see MJF just get the snot beaten out of him.
Well, that's the point.
Yeah.
That's the absolute point of this.
Absolutely.
And then you have him sign the contract, hands it over, and we get this party on the MJF side, because you're such an idiot, and Mox lets them know that he had added a page to the contract, and that the lawyer who had said literally the words before Mox brings this to attention is, I can help you with contracts if you want because you're an idiot, and Mox lets him know that he slid in there that the lawyer will now be facing Mox next week in a match. And I thought this was a great finish of this segment.
It was a great little segment. I think it fleshes out Mox to be more of a three-dimensional character, too.
Correct.
He's not like a brutish thug. He is, but he's also a little smarter than that. You know what I mean?
Right. And they
took him to be a complete idiot, but...
And at this point, we've seen him do so many promos, we know he's smart.
MJF evidently thought, oh, this guy's... He's just a brute.
Now then we move on to a Santana and Ortiz backstage little promo segment, and I loved it. It felt LAX-ish.
Yes.
It felt heelish. It felt formidable. It felt mean.
They said something like, the only thing we're sorry for is that your mom wasn't in the car.
Right.
It's like, Jesus.
Yes, absolutely. And then we move on from that for an Eddie Kingston segment where he you know, sets up what we wanted with Butcher, Blade, Pentagon, Phoenix in a match against Sunny Kiss, Pillman, Garrison, and Janela. I thought this was pretty good. I enjoyed this, actually. This is something that this company does very, very well. These eight guys wrestling in some scenario, I think they do this better than anybody in the world does this.
Yeah, I'd say that because like New Japan does it, but those are like house show matches. These feel more structured and more varied.
I think, too.
For sure.
How do I put it? New Japan, all the wrestlers are established.
Yeah.
So these matches aren't utilized to put someone over. This match was to put Sonny Kiss over.
Yes, dude. Sonny looked awesome.
The result wasn't relevant. The result was to put over this formidable group that won. Sonny Kiss's performance was the performance that mattered in the match, and he is the one who got put over.
Dude,
The way this match was wrestled,
he looked awesome. Also, he evidently graduated college this week, so he has had a phenomenal week.
Right. Okay, and so then we find out that Eddie Kingston's entire faction, including himself, will be in the 21-man thing, to which Jericho says that that's one-fifth of the... I'm not sure that's really one-fifth.
No. I think his math is a little off.
Dude, there. Jericho was so out of...
Jericho was all right.
He drove me crazy. He just tries to get so much. This was my thing with what he was doing. He's just all over the place. But my thing was, you could tell he was trying to be... He's so good at talking. Just slow down.
He's trying really hard. And just he really
slow
doesn't need to.
Down. It's almost like he's worried that any space of air will allow someone to flip the channel. Does it feel like that?
It feels like that, because he'll just start yelling stuff.
And he's so very good if he just takes his time and figures out what he'd say. half of what he wanted to say, stop and forget where he was, and then say the other half. And then just blurt in while JR is talking. It's like, bro, just slow. You're literally one of the greatest people on the mic ever.
You don't have to try that hard.
Just slow down. Everything you say is clever. Just slow down. It's going to be fine. You know what I mean? And it's so weird to see him in that scenario for me, because it's so anti what he is.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And the self-confidence, you know, he rolls with or
projects.
Correct. Dark Order throws a party for Brody. This was strange to me too. Coffin for Cody, which was cool. They wind up announcing Anna Jay as a full-time member.
As 99, then calling her the Great One, which I thought was...
Right. Cool. Now, Brody, he seems... What did you think about the way he was talking here?
I liked it, though it was a bit one-note.
It seemed a little too happy, happy, joy, joy. And the counter to that was he would drop. Like, he dropped
John Silver, yeah.
Right. It was so weird because it was like, I'm all happy. This is great. We're going to party. Well, we're not really going to party because, you know.
I'm going to party.
It was,
y'all are going to be there.
Right.
I'm going to party.
It was an interesting thing, though.
I mean, I
love him as the champ, though.
I do. Oh, dude.
I love Anna Jay.
Anna Jay might be a phenomenal talent.
Right.
Like, she's already pretty good.
Right.
She's like 22 or something.
And putting her in this scenario where she's the hammer for them in the women's division is going to be great.
I think JR called her a Jezebel-like vixen, which is wild.
I don't even know what to do with that.
That's a lot. That's like, I mean, that's
now
it's like calling someone a dumb idiot where you kind of call them the same thing twice.
Right. Now, Dustin comes out with QT and they get whooped, and Scorpio comes out, Anna Jay slaps, Brody drops the number game, and Matt Cardona winds up attacking and clearing the ring. So I assume that some form of Matt Cardona and Scorpio will be getting into programs with Brody soon.
I'll probably be pretty good.
I like watching any of those guys wrestle. So this is going to be good. I'm excited about this.
You know, Cody's probably going to be written off TV for a little while.
Which, probably good.
Probably good. I mean, he was like my favorite part of the show for like multiple weeks running.
Right.
But there is such a thing as oversaturation, and if my guy sells that by taking a couple weeks off, more power to him.
Absolutely.
Also, I think he's filming something with Stephen Amell.
Right. That's what he's really doing, right?
Yeah. But it also completely works, too, you know?
But also, taking that 15 minutes gives somebody else 15 minutes.
Yes.
Which they could use right now, and he can recreate his character when he comes back if he would like. Which is probably part of this whole Hangman thing, which leads us to Hangman is at the bar.
Oh, I love this segment. I love this segment.
Go ahead, just talk about it then.
All right, Hangman's at the bar. Young Bucks come up. They immediately berate him. Like, of course you're at the bar. And I'm such a fan of this angle.
Mm-hmm.
I love the Young Bucks Kenny Hangman match to death. I love the storytelling in it. I love the storytelling now where it's like, well, why did Hangman do that? Hangman didn't want to be part of the Elite, and he said that multiple times, and the Young Bucks basically completely ignored him. I mean, it's a situation where I can technically see both sides, but I definitely side with Hangman more, even if he did something wrong this week. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because for me, the Young Bucks are jerks, and they're jerks in ways that hurt Hangman. Like, even in this segment where it's like, okay, yeah, they have the right to be angry, right? Hangman ruined a shot for them. They work hard for those shots and all that, but he ruined it. And yet the first thing they do is they don't really, like, they call him a drunk, and it was like where they didn't care about his problems until they could use it against him.
Right.
That's absolutely the vibe I got, was that they were just waiting for a chance to call him a drunk and not ever actually, like, help him or anything.
Or even bring it up at all until it was time.
Yeah, until they could use it against him. I don't know. The whole argument felt so
it's not real. You have a problem, it's I have a weapon.
Yeah, dude, yes. God, I've argued against people like that before. But this argument just felt really real in a way. And for a moment, I forgot I was watching like a wrestling show. Mm-hmm. More and more recently with Dynamite, I sometimes just like slip out of like that whole like wrestling viewpoint. And I'm just like, this is a TV show in a lot of ways.
Right.
And I really felt in this segment where I was like, man, this is drama involving wrestling 100%. Got great matches. Had some drama in there as well that was well written. Well, dude, even like Matt did a pretty good job acting.
Mm-hmm.
Hangman's great. Hangman was like, dude, he was huffing and puffing. You know when you get real upset in an argument, you start just like huffing and dude, made my heart hurt for him.
Right.
But I love this angle. I'm loving to find out like, well, what, why did he do that? Right. Did he do that because he was not confident that they could beat the Bucks again? Did he do it because the last time he fought the Bucks, he almost lost everything? In that match, he like, it was never the same with the Young Bucks after that. It was bad before, but it was weird. It was bad after.
Right.
And even with Kenny, it was a little weird.
Right.
So that match like almost destroyed all the friendships he had with the Elite.
Or is he going to FDR?
Or is he going to FDR? Is FDR playing him? Because if they're going to be like, okay, dude, if you're about to betray your friends, then why would we be your friend?
Well, the other thing is, they cheated.
They cheated.
The week before, and he had a problem with it. He cheated this week. And acted like he had a problem with what he was doing. All I can say about this, though, too, is I don't have a clue why the Young Bucks thought that Hangman was still in the Elite.
That's the other thing that really puts me on Hangman's side. Dude, like, Hangman tried to leave multiple times.
It screamed of, this person thinks they're still dating, and they haven't been, and that person's been seeing somebody else for quite some time. At some point, you're going to have to get the picture here.
Oh my God.
Right?
I don't know. But again, the fact that I can talk so much about a simple segment about people arguing about something cheating, which is generally so one note, but I can be like, well, the Young Bucks say that they never thought they always thought he was always good enough. That's like not true. That's just not true. They never gave any indication that they thought he was good enough. They always viewed him as a tier below them.
But I always felt like Cody was the reason why he wound up there with them.
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
Oh my God. But again, this segment was so good. The like end of it was like, again, a little corny, but like where he looks into the mirror and the mirror shattered. Bro.
Speaking of so good.
Bro.
Rebel, Penelope.
Oh man, this match was a mess.
Versus Swole.
The second half of the show was all over the place. The first half was pretty good, but the second half was just like all a mess.
Britt says, if you win, we can wrestle in any type of match you want.
Match was way longer than it should have been.
I thought it was atrocious.
It was awful.
Rebel was terrible. Swole is very good. Penelope is very good. We didn't get to see that at all.
No, literally none of it.
The best spot from Swole was when she hit Kip outside of the ring.
That was good.
It was great.
Kip always wearing the crop top, rocking it. Good job, Kip.
Give me more of that.
Okay.
Not necessarily more of the crop top, but more of...
I'm here, by the way. Mm-hmm. I did not necessarily watch a lot of AEW. I did skip this match. Can you just explain it verbally?
There's nothing to explain.
There's nothing to explain. It was way longer than it should have been.
Swole winds up winning when Rebel winds up grabbing a crutch.
Was it like bad in the way that like it was so mediocre that there was nothing to
pull from? It was bad in the way that Rebel wound up being the primary spot person, and she's not at that point in her career right now.
Or she's like way out of practice.
She is way out of practice. That's what I meant by that.
Yeah, I think and that's also like the goal, it was but it's busy. Also reality.
And also it was a little too busy. It's overbooked, you know?
It was, it wasn't even like that long of a match.
Right.
Dude, that's my problem with AEW is because sometimes they overbook things. And it's everybody probably overbooks their things.
But
their most, not that they have a lot of problems, but it is their most consistent occurring problem.
Yeah, definitely some Cody matches go into that territory.
Well, Cody's not on TV anymore, so we've remedied that.
That's true. Remove the Cody from the situation.
Okay, and so we do get Swole versus Britt in whatever kind of match she wants down the road, so that's good. Anna Jay and Evil Uno offer Tia Conte a job with Dark Order, and it looks like she accepted. Is that good?
I think that's interesting.
I think it is
them
good.
Them fleshing out with more women members, especially people like Tay Conti and Anna Jay.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
What's wrong with having some good wrestlers?
They got some real potential.
Main event of the evening.
I was never thrilled with Tay Conti when I saw her in NXT, but she looks like she's improved a considerable amount.
Yeah. Yeah.
So good for her.
Guevara versus Hardy.
Oh, good. I feel like there were some segments earlier in the night that went too long, and this match was supposed to be longer. You know what I mean?
I like that in this tables match, part of the stip was you have to put the person through the table. I've seen a lot of table matches where somebody just accidentally falls through the table and they lose. Okay, that's just stupid.
It's dumb.
So you have to. So when Sammy accidentally throws himself through multiple tables, it doesn't stop the fact the match. I thought that was good, and it allowed this to be more violent.
Yes.
I thought this was done really well.
It's pretty violent. I mean, no. Okay, don't get me wrong. The match was pretty good. It was real hectic. It was violent, too. Mm-hmm. Again, Sammy got busted open.
Yeah.
Nasty-looking thing on the side of his head.
Right, but he does get the win.
He does get the dub.
Matt kind of ran out of gas, it seemed, which isn't a hard tale to tell.
Yeah.
Because he's older and, you know, he gets into a physical confrontation.
With Sammy, who's like a physical specimen.
And half his age.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? It hasn't been through wars lately. Not been through wars forever. Yeah. So when he runs out of gas and loses, it makes sense. You like the episode?
Yeah. I think it had some issues. Not enough to like ruin, not even close enough to ruin it. The good stuff was phenomenal.
Okay.
And the bad stuff was small enough to ignore, I guess.
Which is the point.
Yeah.
You know?
It's all I can ask for, you know what I mean?
And a lot of times, if you can do your bad stuff in that manner, then it is, eventually there's a payoff for that. You watch that segment, it was stupid, you rolled your eyes, but eventually you wind up with a payoff on it because the stories don't have to end. They can progress and become better.
Yes. Not every single segment on a story has to be out of the park, ballpark hit, you know?
Right. Now, main thing that happened in wrestling this week.
Yes.
Is New Japan oriented?
Yes. I only watched the main event. So just spoiler warning, I probably recommend that you just go watch it. The event looked, the card was awesome. Card had so many good things. Suzuki versus Shingo for the NEVER title.
Right.
Taichi and Zack Sabre Jr. versus Ibushi and Tana for the tag title.
Right.
Ishimori versus Hiromu Takahashi for the junior heavyweight title.
Right.
And the main event,
I saw they were congratulating.
Yes.
Him online.
Yes. And the main event was Tetsuya. Last chance for spoiler warning. Tetsuya Naito winning over Evil for the two belts, Intercontinental and Heavyweight.
We've been a little critical of Evil's title defenses. How was this lost title match?
Not very good.
It wasn't that good.
It wasn't like bad or whatever, but just like the same problems I had last time with Evil, where it feels like Naito wasn't wrestling Evil. He was just wrestling a Jay White match, but not as good because Jay White wasn't
isn't
in it.
There. Oof.
Jay White does so many little things that makes even when he's being the heel that like cheats to win, which is not like incredibly interesting, it's still compelling.
Right.
I don't think Evil was there, you know? It didn't feel like Naito was wrestling Evil. And there were some good moments in the match where like Sonata came out.
Right.
For seeing the first time Sonata, you know, give a damn.
Right.
It was great. I mean, he goes out there and he hits the move he hit when he debuted with LIJ onto Dick Togo, which is the TKO.
Mm-hmm.
Get him up in the... Yeah. But... Which I thought was nice, but again, just like the match as a whole, I was like, man, this is... It was effective enough in getting the crowd on Naito's to really like sympathize with Naito, but... Because the first... You know, it's one of those matches where the first half is the heroes getting beat up. He maybe gets an opportunity or two, but then that's ruined by some more cheating.
Okay.
It was just okay. And I mean, whatever. I'm super happy with the result. I'm happy to see Naito get the belts back. But the match was just not what I wanted it to be.
So I'm guessing that New Japan felt exactly what the rest of the wrestling world felt if they ripped the title right off of Evil quickly.
I don't know, because this kind of felt like it was the plan all along in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Like, the plan was never for Naito, because, like, most of the time when they're establishing someone who they want to be a top star, like, example, Jay White, they'll give him a short run with the belt.
Mm-hmm.
He got it, he beat Tanahashi for it and then lost it to Okada a handful of months later.
Mm-hmm.
But they do give people, like, short runs. You almost always short runs with the belt before establishing them as, like, one of the routine main eventers. So I never saw this. Well, yeah, absolutely. And I never saw it going super long, especially with them moving into the later parts of the year, moving towards Wrestle Kingdom and the G1. They don't usually move the belt around after the G1 and before Wrestle Kingdom, like that period.
So if it was going to move, it had to move now-ish.
Yeah, about okay. now-ish. Okay. So it makes sense. And again, Naito kind of collecting himself and realizing what he has to do totally makes sense in the story. But yeah, it was just, this whole thing's been a little lackluster for me.
Right.
And I'm not necessarily.
And we're moving on.
Yeah.
Moving towards G1.
It'll be fine. G1's going to be phenomenal. I'm really excited for it. Naito's double champ. All is right in the world.
All is right in the wrestling world on that note. Anything
happen in the wrestling world that is of note?
Not that I can think of, no. No, just like general news? Not really.
No, we're all news. Good.
Yeah, no.
Very uneventful.
I mean, again, a great week of wrestling.
Great week of wrestling. Awful week sometimes, for a human.
Sometimes no news is good news.
Well, one thing happened.
What?
Kenny Omega watched SmackDown from the virtual thing last night and then said, I didn't think anybody would notice.
Oh, he's trolling. He did not.
Dude, that is a high-level troll on his part. Liked it very much.
Yes, absolutely.
That's a whoopity doo level troll.
Yes, whatever that means. Am I old?
Lift yourself.
Whoopity doo.
Kanye.
I don't listen to Kanye. All right.
For the Go Home Heat Kid Ray, for Jared, New Japan Jared. For me, KP, this has been a Go Home Heat production. Copyright 2020. Go home.